Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob, and this is the next in the continuing series of Bible questions and answers. We're in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. The question is, on this very unusual chapter, who is being addressed in the first part of chapter 28? And who was this person historically? Well, the answer, of course, it says, Son of man, say to the leader or the prince of Tyre, T-Y-R-E, capital of Phoenicia, the Phoenician Empire of old, very famous and very worldwide kind of thing that went by boat all over the world and raised a mighty financial empire. But God says, because your heart is lifted up and you've said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of gods, in the heart of the seas, you're a man. Yeah, you're just a man, not God. So the prince of Tyre, historically, may well have been Ito Baal, Ethbaal, we want to say, the second, the father of the notorious Jezebel in your Bible. Yeah. That was the connection between Israel and Tyre, was that Jezebel was actually related to the king, was the daughter of the king of Tyre. He was a priest, also of the pagan goddess Astarte, and violently overthrew the setting king of the Phoenician Empire to rule there himself. He was a wicked man, and he was steeped in the demonic. Notice his claim to deity. And the awful pride of his heart. He was a type of the Antichrist in that sense. A type of the Antichrist who will come. He was proud, anti-God, filled with Satan. That's Antichrist. Wherever you find him in history, it's that kind of a person that will rule the world one day. God has to remind him here, you're just a man. And you're going to die a shameful death. And he did. But in the next question, chapter 28 still, verses 11 to 19, who is being addressed in the latter part of Ezekiel 28? The first part is addressed to a prince. The second part is addressed to a king. Son of man, take up a lamentation, verse 12, over the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you, and then he goes on saying a bunch of things that don't sound like a man at all. God's now talking to the king of Tyre as opposed to the prince or perhaps the visible leader. Same person? I don't know. Is the Lord taking us behind the scenes to see who's really in charge of Phoenicia and any anti-Christ, anti-God empire? Who's really in charge? Even Peter could be called Satan, right? So if Peter could be called Satan because of some words that came out of his mouth one time, imagine this kind of a man not only being called Satan, but if you look up, if you could see with spiritual eyes, you would see someone pulling the strings of this man who is Satan himself. Whoever he was perfect at the beginning. He was full of wisdom at the beginning. Perfect in beauty, this person that God is addressing in Ezekiel 28, he resided in Eden. Aha! Think Genesis 3 and before. He was covered with precious jewels at his creation. He was a cherub, that is, anointed of God, we want to say angel, but it's a different class altogether. The cherubs, the seraphs, cherubim, seraphim, angels, different categories. But he was anointed of God. And he was on the holy mountain of God. He was blameless until unrighteousness was found in him. I'm just giving you the things that are in Ezekiel 28. You can read this yourself. He was cast out of the, quote, mountain of God, whatever and wherever that is, because of his profanity. He was destroyed by God as far as his beauty and power. He was cast to the ground or the earth. He was placed before kings for his final demise, and he will cease to be forever. That is, his earthly kingdom will disappear, as will he, but, well, Revelation 20 talks about torment day and night in the lake of fire is still the ultimate goal for this one. Now, who have you read about that fits that description? Certainly, Ethbaal, in all of his wickedness, doesn't match the qualities of this evil spirit, whom we believe to be none other than Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Wow. Again, Ethbaal, in whom Satan lives, becomes here a true picture of the coming Antichrist. I believe there are seven such pictures in history, most of them in your Bible, but I won't go into that right now. I've written about that elsewhere. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 30, verses 2 through 5, and I'm going to read it to you, and then I want you to answer a question. Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, wail, alas for the day is near. Even the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations. A sword will come upon Egypt. Anguish will be in Ethiopia. When the slain fall in Egypt, they take away her wealth, and her foundations are torn down. Ethiopia, Put, Lud, all Arabia, Libya, and the people of the land that is in league with them will fall with them by the sword. Is that an end time prophecy? I'm saying possibly on this one. Or, and we're going to have to come to terms with this possibility elsewhere too, that the day of the Lord does not always mean the ultimate end of history, day of the Lord. It could be the day of the Lord for a particular nation, and Egypt is pointed out here. This is Egypt's day of the Lord. The emphasis is on that land throughout the chapter, all of chapter 30. Other nations are mentioned in connection with her downfall, but those nations were also victims of Nebuchadnezzar, as Egypt is about to be here. Ezekiel expands on the Egypt theme in the next two chapters after this one, making his point. I'm not going to call this one end time necessarily. We've got to be careful reading through the scriptures to find out what does it really mean before we start grabbing stuff for ourselves. I've said it many times. Be careful. With the teachers that are out there today, you'll think that the entire Old Testament was written to you. And in one sense it was, because the examples are for us. But not every truth, not every promise that's made to Israel is made to you. Not the locational, the geographical things. Don't try to spiritualize it. It's real geography. Egypt is here, singled out. Babylon will take over. How about Ezekiel 34? Talking about some sheep and a shepherd. What's the significance of this discussion here in chapter 34. It's question 29, if you're keeping count, of the Ezekiel questions. I'm not going to read the entire chapter, Ezekiel 34. But here's another case where the prophet begins to deal with a local problem. Now get the discerners on here. He starts out locally, and then he shifts into another gear altogether, you'll see, and is speaking about things that have not yet occurred on the earth. Notice verses 1 to 10. Verses 1 to 10 are a clear accusation of guilt directed at the shepherds of Israel, men who were responsible for caring for the spiritual needs of the Jewish people. But they used their position to bring comfort and riches to themselves. Does that sound familiar? Oh, yeah. God is against false shepherds and will replace them. Prophets of that day, prophets of our day, pastors of our day, religious leaders of all time have done this. Not all of them, but some of them have in every generation, and they're doing it today. Watch out for them. people that are using their position to bring comfort and riches to themselves. Don't judge, but discern. When you're with these people, can you learn from them? If they're teaching God's word, in spite of all of that, yes, you can. But many of them are teaching God's word just for the money. And when it comes to any real trouble, they're going to be gone. In fact, the Lord himself, verses 11 to 31, is going to be the shepherd of the sheep. Now here, Ezekiel blends with that, with the gospel narratives. You've heard them. In identifying himself, Jesus, as the good shepherd. So at first we see him at his first coming and in our lives now. Then Ezekiel goes into the millennial joys that are still ahead of us. Let me give you the bullet points on that. First, he says, I will search for my sheep. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said he would do? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So God, the Father, we say, Jehovah in the Old Testament, is the same God, folks, Old or New Testament, same Father, Son, Spirit, it's all there. He's saying here that I will search for my sheep, but Jesus, when he came, said that that's what he was doing. So it's the same God. Then he says, I will care for my sheep. I'll deliver them from the places where they were scattered. You can do that figuratively if you want, but there is a physical scattering of Israel, the true people of God, all over the world, and the Jewish people too. And in the final analysis, he's going to bring them all in. I'll feed them in a good pasture. Sounds like Psalm 23. I will bind up the broken. I will strengthen the sick, as in Isaiah's predictions. And I will set over them one shepherd. His name will be David. Whoop, doesn't say Jesus here. It says David. Now, Ezekiel often speaks of David in reference to the coming kingdom. I'm going to ask you, and I want you to think about it, always remembering you are not bound to anything that anyone has ever taught you. You're bound only to what God says. You're not bound to what I'm saying now. But keep your heart open. Keep your mind open as you read the word. I ask you, is this the Son of David, Jesus, or will King David be resurrected in that day? Well, we know he's going to be resurrected, but will he have a job? Well, he'll have a job, of course. All of the resurrected saints are going to have places in the kingdom. Will he be resurrected for the specific purpose of managing Jesus' kingdom, Jesus, Lord of all, King of all, God, but then David under him? Possible? Why not? That's exactly what it says here. If we want to be literal, well, that's what Ezekiel just said. I think I'm going to go for it. Then he says, I will be their God. David's going to be their leader, but I will be their God. He says, I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing. What hill? You know the hill. Mount Zion. Oh, I'm a Zionist when it comes to that. I don't care who knows it. I'm a Zionist. I'm for Zion, the hill of Zion, and the mountain that will become one day. You've got to read Revelation again and see what's coming to you. And all the places around there, God's going to make a blessing. Oh, yes, he is. They'll no longer be a prey to the nations. Has that happened yet? Of course not. Is it going to happen? Of course. God said it. God said it. How about Ezekiel 36? Oh, boy. Is this another local prophecy with a millennial fulfillment? Now, I don't know how else to see it. If I'm to continue reading Ezekiel and all the Bible, literally, I have to see Ezekiel. Why are you making this big fuss about Ezekiel? Well, have you read Ezekiel 36 lately? A lot of interesting stuff coming up here. The Valley of Dry Bones and Rosh and all that. But this chapter 36 is a prophecy to the mountains. But there's no question that Ezekiel is dealing with the devastation that has come to them because of their idolatry. No doubt about that. God has acted in wrath against them. But now he's making promises about their future. Their fortunes, that is Israel's, are going to change radically. Oh, yeah. Oh, there was a return. And the scriptures do talk about the return, and the return is recorded in the Old Testament. But there's that little return that came about back in those days, it just doesn't match the return that's really going to come. There were days of blessing then and since, even in the modern times. But there's too much in the passage that must be ignored if we leave all of the fulfillment for those days. God's promises do take time. Consider all the prophecies of Messiah, Jesus, who is to come, given anywhere from 6 to 10 centuries in advance and more, but they came. He came. They came to pass. So as I suggest over and over that these things simply have not happened yet, we've got to be patient as God works out in fine detail everything he said that he would do. Now, which details must still be future, even today? Which ones? Bullet point one, I will not let you hear insults from the nations anymore. That's chapter 36. You gotta read through that. Can't read the whole chapter here. You can, though. That word is proved unfulfilled almost daily for Israel right now. Hasn't happened. Insults, are you kidding? Constant insults, constant threats, constant hatred, constant bias. This is, what is today, December 28, 2016. We're living in during the time right now of one of the greatest insults the United States of America has ever given to the land of Israel by not vetoing, by abstaining from voting against a very wicked resolution in the United Nations. Oh, the United, they really think they've got something there, don't they? The men of this world have gotten together and they just think they can make the decisions now. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Israel is the winner of all of that. Not America, even. Definitely not America this time. But Israel, God's people, even though they are not come to Christ yet, he still has his hand on that land. Watch them. We watch them. Even though their trouble is coming, they always find a way to be coming out on top because God is with them. Well, when Jesus, the Jew, reigns, when he returns, all this bad stuff's going to stop. You watch. And then it says, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. This is ultimately not about Israel at all, but the glory of God. Israel fell short of that glory in a spectacular way and continues to, causing spectacular judgment. And more is coming, Israel. I hate to tell you that, but it is. Your Holocaust of the past is nothing compared to the Holocaust of the future. God help you. God help you. There's a remnant of Israel that will be saved. Eventually, all these evil days will be past. God himself will bear no further insults because of this people. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. And then he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will loathe yourselves. Well, that all just sounds like Jesus' new birth to me. So that kind of thing is happening now in the kingdom people where Jews have come to Christ. But eventually, you're going to see much, much more than that. You're going to see the remnant, the 144,000 who are called by Jesus into the wilderness in that day of tribulation. There'll be some called out of that. While Israel's being destroyed, while the world's being destroyed, God's 144 will be called out. Jesus will reveal himself to his people. And then He'll save them and cleanse them, and they will be new people, and they will hate their old ways. They'll be so sorry, and they will return to Israel then. And oh, what a return that will be. I know you're looking back to 1948 and back into the 20s and 30s as they started coming back in huge numbers to Israel, and they were talking about that as the return. No, that's not necessarily the biblical return. I hate to disappoint you, but there's a big return coming. And God always gets a big return on his investments. And then finally, the nations that are left around about you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. Again, this is for God's sake, not Israel's. But it will happen. And Israel will be blessed and the world will be blessed. You know, when Israel's happy, and the world is happy. That's why we pray for the peace of Jerusalem even to this day. God bless you today. Wow, it's good to have you there. I just love having people listen when I'm sitting here in this little room talking to myself. I know that you're out there, and I thank you. And I hope that some of you will continue to write. I appreciate your comments from time to time. Ask me a question if you like, or suggest a topic for study, although we're pretty booked up right now for sure. Send me a prayer request, or just say hi. Send me an idea for a book to read. Some of you have done that. Oh my goodness, it has changed my life. I'm reading some wonderful stuff. Some of it I can't read totally online, but I'm reading it and having a good time with it. Thank you so much. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun website of sermonaudio.com. Check in from time to time. See what's going on here. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.